Religion has many victims, and these are the stories of how they survived. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Awakening. I'm your host, Heather.
And I'm your co-host, Tamara, aka Jezebel.
And today, we're super excited because you guys get to hang out with the two of us this afternoon while we actually talk about some current events that have been happening. And we also want to ask each other a few questions because, you know, we've been recording this show for several months now, haven't we, T?
Oh my gosh. A lot. It's almost our first year
We're
anniversary.
getting closer to a year, and we have over 41 episodes out now, which is super exciting. So I thought it would just be really cool to ask each other a few questions today and then get into talking about some current events. And I get to brag on you a little bit too after this little Q&A sesh. So now, we've had a lot of people on this show, and we all know that their stories are absolutely powerful and incredible. And we are so honored to be able to sit down with every single person that shares with us what it is that they've been through, because we learn something from every person we meet, or we can connect with them in some way because we see part of our own story in their journey as well. So I want to ask you, which guest out of all the people we've interviewed so far, which story sticks with you the most?
Oh, Heather, there are so many, and there is not one story that I don't carry a piece of me with every time I hear the harm that religious spaces does to anybody that has come on our show. The one common theme is these things happened in the building of a church house. From the inside of a church, from the pulpit. So it's not like, oh, these are people that you live everyday lives or pass on the streets that's hurting them. It is absolutely directly related to the church, to religion, to indoctrination. So in that essence, every story
And it's kind of
is
hard
bad.
to not sit down and listen to their stories and not take a piece of it with you in some way, because, you know, we were taught for so long that the church was the safest place that we could ever be. It was the safest
Oh my
place for
gosh.
us, the safest place for our children. But we hear story after story every week of how that's not the case, how it's not just the pastor, it's sometimes the women of the church that are inflicting the harm, you know? And it's crazy, you know, when
All
you.
the time there's a woman behind what's going on. Sorry.
And we talk about that often. Like, you know, we go live a lot and we talk about how women are the hands and feet of the church. They really do all of the free labor within the church. They run the children's church, they run the nursery, they do youth, you know. And
The
before you know it,
choir.
women are doing just about everything within the church, except for taking up the money and guarding the door on Sundays and preaching that sermon from the pulpit. But at the same time, the man that's preaching that sermon is telling that woman that her value is less than any man in that building. When in all reality, if it wasn't for the women in that building, the entire thing would collapse.
Yeah, there wouldn't be a Sunday morning, Sunday school church service. There wouldn't be praise and worship. There would not be, the dinners and the foods and the pantries unless there was a woman behind it.
So I think about these things often because the more that we hear the stories, the more the wool is pulled off your eyes, the more that the facade of what was sold to us is completely shattered. And we see it for what it is now. We see the structures of what keeps this harm in motion. And we see the effects of that harm and how it truly damages people in such a severe and significant way. And the people that have been on our show, they are so incredible, but it breaks my heart to see the wounds that they carry because of what has happened to them in these spaces.
And
you
it
know?
doesn't matter if you've been out 2 years, 5 years, 15, 20, 30, 40 years, the harm is still as fresh today as it
Yes.
was the day each of them left.
Yes.
And I think that's what always surprised me, because with me, when I left, right, I thought, I'll eventually get to a place that I'll be okay.
Yeah. Yep.
That's not
No, you get
how
to a
trauma
place where
works.
you learn how to live with it and go through, because it doesn't ever completely go away. There is no magic wand that you can wave for trauma. You just can't. And, you know, even now, like I have said it before on this show, but, you know, there's a pastor, his name's Christian Smith, and he works in the deconstruction spaces. And he said, it doesn't matter how long I've deconstructed, some days I still wake up with the weight of hell on my chest. Because those old patterns, they sink deep into your bones, honey. When you were raised in this from a baby, it becomes part of every bit of who you are. And it's like trying to pull out these thin, tiny fibers one by one from within your core. And some of them are so knotted up, you can't get them all the way out.
And the other thing is, too, is that I found with a lot of our guests, it has not been the written word of the Bible
Yeah.
that they struggle with.
No, it's the way
When
others
we
have treated them and manipulated them and abused them.
and the indoctrination,
Yes. Yes.
those things that don't have a Bible scripture for, but they still hold space in your heart, because those are the things that you have to battle and say, that's not true.
Yeah.
That is not what's happening here. And
Yeah.
then the mind will say, yeah, but you know, your dress isn't where it's supposed to be. Your
Yep.
shoulders are showing, your hair is cut, you have makeup on, or whatever words you want to put in that for your trauma journey.
Absolutely.
For me, those are the things that constantly float in my head as if they don't have a space to land.
Yes. So, is there a guest that has been on our show that may have changed your mind about something that you had thought you had already had figured out?
Well, maybe I should start off with the fact that I have been away from the church for 30 years. So I came into this podcast wondering what it would do. Would it make me be more accepting? Would it make me understand better where I came from? Would it make me hold a more special place? Special in air quotes, in case you can't see what I'm doing. But how would it change me? Because I was very much a dedicated Christian girl.
Yeah.
Heather, it has made me more of an anti-theist and
Yeah.
more, if you can be more of an atheist
Yeah.
than I ever thought was possible. It has driven me so far away from a church building, from the Bible, from all my core and all my roots,
Yeah.
that it has actually been able, it's been easier for me to reach down into the ground and pull up that next root of
Absolutely.
indoctrination and look at it and say, fuck this, and throw it
Yes.
away.
And that's exactly what it has done for me. Like, it's the more stories that I hear, it's like each story is like another chunk of road putting even more distance between me and the church house. Because it's another story of more evil, you know? And it's like, why would I ever want to subject myself to a church right down the road that is preaching the same things that caused all this harm in this other person? And people always, you know, they're like, oh, you need to just find a different church. I sat in the church for so many years and it made me sick, really unwell, mentally unwell, physically unwell. And I look back on that and they're like, just try a different flavor of poison. It'll still kill you slowly. But it's
But not as
poison
quick.
nonetheless, And it's like, no, thank you.
It's
I
like the
don't.
poison is in droplets. You know what I'm saying? If you go, like, if you look at the churches on a spectrum, let's give the viewers a visual. And we have, the most deadliest poison on this end, a cobra or a black mamba. But on this end, we have a rattlesnake of the spectrum. That rattlesnake can still do as much damage as the black mamba, given time.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's what people don't understand. Like, I know they get offended. They get so offended when I'm just like, thanks, but no thanks. You're still offering me something that's harmful. And you cannot ever convince me that it's not, because I hear their victims every single week. I hear the stories every single week. And, I even have other people that listen to this show. And for every one of you that listens to us every week, we are so grateful for
Thank
every
you.
single one of you. We love hearing from you. We love the feedback. I love it when you guys send me messages and are like, wow, the show this week. Like, I can't believe that happened at Morningstar, because we want you guys to understand what's really happening in religious spaces. And the way that we do this is by people sharing their stories and us talking about current events. Now, we're going to get into our current events portion in just a second, but I want to brag on my co-host here for a second, because before we got this show started, she said that she has something really big coming up. She writes poetry about her experiences and her deconstruction journey, and she has experienced significant DV in the past. And because of that, a piece of her poetry has been chosen to be submitted in an art exhibit that will be in Detroit for 3 months. Did you say? Is that how long? So she is actually going to read this poetry for all of us, so you can hear this beautiful work that she's going to have, on display in Detroit to raise awareness about domestic violence.
And not only domestic violence, because it is for the Domestic Violence Month, but more significantly, it is about CSA. SA, domestic violence, any kind of abuse that you've experienced, definitely can be, is taught, or not taught, but it's talked about in our group therapies, in my trauma therapy. And my therapist came to me and said, after she had heard one of my stories, and asked me if I would be willing, and if I would like for my poetry to be a part of the Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and that it could be anything that I would want to speak about. And so I did. I wrote a piece of poetry. So did you want me to read it now?
Yes,
Oh,
absolutely.
okay.
You
Let
read it
me.
now, and then we'll do current events.
So if you know anything about me, or if you've followed me, for the last like 6 years, I have worked every year on a certain word. When the New Year's resolutions come around, I don't make goals and I don't try to achieve those goals. But I found that if I work on one word, then that can be my motto for the whole year. And when I first started, I didn't know where this was going to go. But my first year, I worked on grace, showing myself grace on my journey of healing. The next was dignity. The next was respect. The next was being vulnerable. And the next was staying present. And this wasn't for me to work on it with other people around me. It was words that I know I needed to incorporate into my life. And then this year, the word that I'm working on is reclamation. So this will be my first time reading it out loud. So hopefully I can do this without crying. So it's called Reclamation. I found my dragon deep inside, a place where fear and fury hide. Born from sorrow, forged in flame, she wore the heavy cloak of shame. She slept beneath the forgotten skies, beneath the smoke and silent cries. She swallowed all my silent fears. Her scales were forged from fractured years. My trembling heart bore all my tears, yet every step betrayed my fears. Still walking through the ancient lies, I could not turn from her burning eyes. I know you, I whispered beneath my breath. She blinked and breathed a quiet sigh, as though she knew I would arrive. She became the strength I could not name, carrying my grief, my rage, my shame. Her fire burned with quiet will. As she breathed, I stood so still, no longer feared, no longer blamed. I saw my strength without my shame. My dragon bowed her mighty head. No threat remained, no fear to dread. My trembling hands met her with care. Electric silence filled the air. From this day forward, let our truth be known. We stand united, never again alone. Together we vow, by choice we remain, forever united, one heart, one flame. At last her majestic wings kissed the wind. Together we found our peace within, towards unknown horizons, ours to claim. Forever our legacy preserves our names. I am no longer what others require to be. I am who I choose to be. I am grace. I am dignity. I am respect. I am vulnerable. I am present. Survival taught me to hold my breath. Safety taught me how to breathe. Healing taught me to trust enough to stay. Reclamation.
I love it. It's so beautiful. Ah, I love this. I love this so much. It's so empowering. And, I love the visuals that you get with it too. It really is that taking back, oh gosh, I'm gonna sound so Christian here, but taking back what the enemy stole from you, Jezebel.
It's called reclamation. That's the secular word.
I love that. It is so beautiful.
And just for Heather, could you see that the dragon was Jezebel
Yes,
and the little girl was Tamira? And finally the two have been able to integrate instead of standing as two separate identities. Because Tamara never could appreciate Jezebel because she was loud. She was an advocate. She didn't give a fuck. But Tamara struggles to this day with everything from her inner child. So this poem was a nod to my horizons and to where I'm going, and a peace that has been made with the little girl who didn't know to do anything but fear her dragon. She was always taught that dragons were evil, they were scary, they were to be afraid of, they were magic, they were mystical, and never do it. So forever, I've always said, there's this dragon within me. And it was a metaphor, but I didn't realize that it was more than just a metaphor. It was my little girl trying to find a way to find peace with the woman part of me, which was Jezebel. So thank you.
Well, you know what? This is so cool that you were just talking about your inner child, because this will kind of lead right into our first story that we want to talk about today when we talk about current events. Because there has been a viral video going around the internet of a VBS Bible school. And I'm actually going to insert a small bit of audio for our listeners so they can hear what's going on in this clip.
Take me now, blow him up. Take me now, blow him up.
Take
we're going to talk about this because in this clip, they have armed, masked men in full-on SWAT gear with assault rifles walking down the center of the sanctuary that is full of children. This was Vacation Bible School. And they are screaming at the top of their lungs. The kids were chanting, "Take him out, blow him up." So this is what the pastor had these children chanting in this sanctuary. Take him out, blow him up. Now, while these militant men are walking to the front of the church, they're dragging a captive person along with them. And then they act like they are murdering this person in 4K in front of these kids, live in front of the children in the sanctuary. And
Let's
then,
not forget, they threw him on the altar.
yes, they threw him on the altar, fake shot him, and then drug him out in front of the children as they were screaming because they were terrified. And the pastor had the audacity to come out and say that they do this every year in front of these children, that they put on this skit every year, and it shows the war of good and evil.
My friends, and just a thought from the pastor study, I want to address this firestorm concerning the clip that's been sent, I guess, everywhere. I'm quite frankly befuddled. The misinformation out there it's sad. And I guess it's a part of what this generation has become. And concerning the clip that has been shared, it was nothing more than a small part of our Vacation Bible School. For 32 years, Vacation Bible School, we have characters every year that represent good and right and God. And we have characters that represent evil and wrong and that which should be avoided. We every year, through skits and songs and games and just a lot of fun, we make church a fun place, a happy place.
Now, I don't believe
Disgusting.
that. This is what we in this business call grooming,
Yeah.
because they will, these are the same people that will tell us that horror movies are demonic, action movies, those movies like Keanu Reeves are in all the time, like that stuff's demonic because people are getting killed all the time. Violent video games, those are demonic. And their kids aren't allowed to watch those things or listen to those things, whatever, or even read books, that have too much violence in them. But at the same time, you're going to mock violence and unaliving somebody, killing somebody right on the altar in the sanctuary of your church. And then you come out and say, well, it's okay, we do this every year. Wait a minute. So you're telling me you're raising up children to be killers every year? You're desensitizing them to violence like that? You're teaching them that it's okay to kill people in the name of God.
And we're not talking about older teenagers for a youth group.
No, we are
We're
talking
talking
about
about
small children.
kindergartens.
Yes, these kids were probably from the age of 5 to, 10, 12 years old, like they were in
Yes.
that range. And I think stuff like this is so egregious, especially when they justify it and they double down on it and act like, well, that's no big deal. Honey, it is a big deal. It's a big deal when you sit there and condemn all this other stuff, but you're doing that directly in front of innocent kids. I would have been a egregiously appalled if something like that would have ever happened in front of my kids.
I would have been at an attorney Monday morning.
That's like insane to me.
And let me just point out to everybody, in the temperature of the United States today, in the state of Michigan, we have had at least three mass shootings inside churches.
Yes. Yes.
Within an hour radius of where I live. Now, I don't know if that happens in other states, but when you know you're going to quote and unquote the safest place under the stars, but then you bring in military men in SWAT gear with mask on.
And these are the same churches too that they will do this. And then when it comes around Easter time, they'll literally have kids pretending that they're Jesus getting beaten and whipped to death and hung on a cross.
It's
I'm
okay
like,
if it's in the name of God.
yes,
It is
it's
okay.
okay if it's in the name of God. And it's sickening. It's sickening. I just get so frustrated with the hypocrisy in it because,
I can't
okay,
even say.
today is a good example, okay? So it just came out in the news today that Senator Lindsey Graham has passed away. Okay. Now, Senator Lindsey Graham has done some evil shit, like evil shit. He has been an evil human being, and there have been some very credible accusations made against him about him doing some horrible things. Okay. And the reality is, and I said this earlier, people who do not understand true justice do not understand why people celebrate when an oppressor passes away. Because the reality is when somebody has participated in harming you, harming your community, harming your family members, they will rejoice when you die because that's one more evil person that we don't have to worry about. Now, I'm not saying that I am personally rejoicing because that man passed away. I will not say that. I am not that person. But what I will say is that I completely understand it when people do, especially when we have so much harm being inflicted by these politicians. And Lindsey was such a hypocrite because when the insurrection happened, he was anti-Trump. He said, re-electing him again would be such a big mistake. And just last week, he was talking about Trump being the greatest president that's ever lived. He did a complete flip, which means he's a freaking hypocrite, but he doesn't care about the people. He didn't care about the constituents. Lindsey is the reason why women can't freaking access health care in this state, for goodness sakes. 6 weeks, that's our abortion limit. Anything past that, you can't get health care. Women are dying because of the decisions that he made. So, no, I'm not going to say he was such a great man that did so much for the state of South Carolina. No, he has harmed so many people. And the reality is just because he's dead doesn't mean we rewrite the history of how he lived. Because when we rewrite history after somebody dies, that gives permission for more people to continue to be evil and get away with it
Or
because
if
it'll just get
we,
erased when they pass away.
and if we celebrate him, and people celebrate him. And you know the oppression that he's caused. You understand the effects of his decisions
On
because
people.
of Christianity and because he's like, oh, now he's going to do all this good work. He's not done good work for the women of this
No.
community or the women of your community or the state or the
Or the
country
trans kids in our community.
or
Like
the trans
it's
kids. He
because of,
is disgusting.
legislation that just got passed in South Carolina that trans college kids have to use a fucking porta potty because they took away their rights to use a freaking bathroom inside the college. Unless they use the bathroom that aligns with their gender at birth, which puts them at risk, that puts them in harm's way. So, what they said is, so we won't put you in harm. We're going to put porta potties outside for you. So, we're going to reduce you to less than human to satisfy this, and it doesn't fix anything. It dehumanizes trans people even further. It ostracizes them even further. And it disgusts me that people are out here on the internet being so self-righteous, basically, and being so angry about people celebrating him passing, right? Especially when the people that are upset are the same people that voted for Trump. And Trump was the one who said, quote unquote, because I've got it right here because I've used this several times today because of the bull crap that's been going around. Trump said this when somebody else passed away, and I want everybody to hear it. Robert Mueller just died. Good. I'm glad he's dead. He can no longer hurt innocent people. President Donald J. Trump. Well, honey, when you have a president that celebrates the death of another human being and you voted for that man, you cannot get mad when other people do the same dang thing that your president is doing. That's
And
hypocrisy.
let's remind everybody, there were two, husband and a wife, Democrat, that
Yeah.
have served their country and given themselves to their constituents and was
Murdered. Yep.
murdered.
And
He
they were
wouldn't hold,
making jokes about it.
and
Yep.
they wouldn't give them respect. They wouldn't
Nope.
open the White House to have them lay in state. He wouldn't even call the governor of that
No.
of those
No.
two Democrats, because he ran against them
Yep.
in the election. Shame on you. Don't
Yep.
put on me what
And
you won't take for yourself. With
no.
those were good people. They
Yep.
fought for
The
LGBTQIA. They
Hortmans
fought
were
for the
good
marginal
people.
communities
Yep.
of their state. And he wouldn't even recognize them without making fun of them and their governor. I'm
Yes.
sorry. When it comes to that, Heather, I'm a little bit more than you. Fuck you.
And I don't blame you for that because, again, the same people that were sending us death threats when we were just being honest about who Charlie Kirk was when he died are
Yeah, let's
now the
say
same
that.
people that are mad that people are celebrating that Lindsay is gone. That one more bad man is not here to keep harming other people. I
One
literally
down
had
and one
somebody
to
have the
go. Let's
audacity to
go,
say to me
Mitch.
today, oh, well, I
Let's
just
go,
don't.
Mitch.
I literally had somebody say to me today, well, I just don't get involved in all that political stuff. And I was like, if you can say that in today's political climate, then you are privileged and you are part of the problem. Because that tells me that your neighbor's suffering has not bothered you enough for it to matter yet. And that's a freaking problem because there's so much suffering all around you. So why aren't you seeing it? And why don't you care enough about it to want it to change? Like, we need to be better, man. We
And we
have
need to be
to.
able to talk out and talk about this sort of stuff.
Yes,
And I just want to
absolutely.
remind our listeners, that's one down. There's one more to go. He's hanging on by his threads. And if you think I'm going to celebrate when that Speaker of the House finally unplugs, you are dead wrong.
So, okay, we are going to talk about another story that came across our feeds. And this one, we've talked about Pastor Steven Anderson before.
Yes,
He,
we
Pastor
have.
Steven Anderson is a preacher that went viral several years ago because he was the one who was preaching a sermon where he said that gay people should be lined up against a wall and shot in the back of the head. Well, he's recently went viral again. Because apparently he's been cursing his own adult children. So,
And this is not just the only time this man goes
no,
viral, because
no.
the minute I hear him, my skin crawls, my stomach turns,
And
and I
this
get
man
sick.
is horrible. And we are going to talk about him for just a little bit. But we're going to read about what's going on with him right now. But we're also going to talk about his children a little bit that he's saying this about. So, controversial pastor Steven Anderson is demanding that his four eldest children publicly repent or be destroyed by God. The Faithful Word Baptist Church leader delivered a sermon titled, Why I Do Not Want to Continue Pastoring, in which he labeled his children evil and wicked brats and said he would quit if they do not recant. Now, the reason that he is preaching this sermon is because Pastor Steven Anderson is alleged to be a horrifically abusive man to his children, to his wife, and that's why he's speaking out against his adult children, because they have started speaking out against their father about the abuse that they have suffered. The eldest children of anti-LGBTQIA plus pastor Steven Anderson have spoken out with allegations of years of domestic violence by their father and his wife. In a series of interviews with Dead Domain, a trans YouTuber, Steven Anderson's children paint a traumatic picture of their childhood. The interviews detail punishments that could be defined as extreme. Steven Anderson is the self-appointed leader of the New Independent Fundamentalist Baptist sect. For more than a decade, he has advocated the execution of gay people, and his hateful, violent rhetoric has seen him banned from multiple countries, including the UK, Ireland, and Botswana. Anderson garnered national attention in 2009, called Why I Hate Barack Obama, in which he exhorted his congregation to pray for the president's death. The day after that sermon, ABC News reported that a parishioner named Christopher Broughton brought an AR-15 and a handgun to an event where President Obama was addressing a veterans group. So, yeah, this man is pretty freaking atrocious. And
Can I
three
just
of.
say, can I just cut in there?
Yeah.
Don't tell me that it's blue blood or Democrats.
No.
Don't tell me that
Yeah.
it is. Don't make me be held to the same standards of this disgusting administration today.
Yeah.
When you promote the death and the unaliving of a political figure,
Yeah. Yeah.
their families,
And it's
and
so gross.
what has happened to America? Honestly, I grew up
Yeah.
where those things were taboo and you didn't speak of them, but we
No.
have a sitting president that hurrahs it, that
Oh,
encourages
yeah.
it, and that their
And what's
vice
crazy is
president
the
has one
people
of
that,
these
yeah.
ministers as his
Oh,
spiritual
yeah,
leader.
absolutely. And what's wild is people say, oh, well, people didn't make attempts on Obama's life like that. Honey, he had 11 attempts on his life. He just didn't freaking advertise it like Trump does. And those were authentic attempts because you ain't convincing me all the you ain't convincing me all the ones that have happened with the orange guy are true, right? You're
Yeah,
just not.
President Obama just had a threat to his home in Chicago just in the last week or
Yep.
2 weeks. So they had to lock everything down because there was a absolute threat to him. Do you think if something happened to any former president that anybody in that government would be like, oh, he was such a good man. He did
Yeah.
so much for our country. What do you think social media would say
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
tomorrow morning if
So,
Obama was passed
oh,
away?
it would
This
be,
man is
oh, if Obama,
disgusting.
no, if Obama passed away, then you would have all the praise from the left, and then the people on the right would be saying all the horrible shit that's being said about
Exactly. So don't
Lindsay
help
right
me.
now. Yeah.
Don't hold me to your
Yeah.
standard. Go
So
ahead.
let's get back to Steven Anderson.
Yes.
Now, three of his children have come forward to claim that their parents abused them. Their stories share very many similarities, including beatings with an electrical cord and pervasive environment of emotional manipulation and control, where they were forced to hide the truth about the violence in the household. Now, listen, I grew up in a pastor's home with an abusive
I'm
dad.
surprised.
We did not talk about what happened in our home outside of the home. We were forbidden from sharing family business with anybody outside of our immediate family. We
Yep.
didn't talk about it. And my dad literally would tell us, if you say anything about that, I'll beat your ass again. And he meant it. We knew
We
he meant
meant
it.
it.
He would beat the hell out of you again if you ever made him look bad or embarrassed him in public.
And let me make sure that people understand those comments were made to us once we became 16, 17, and 18. The comments from
No.
our family to keep our mouth shut started at birth.
Yes. Absolutely. I got slapped across the face repeatedly by
For opening
parents.
my
Yep.
mouth.
Yep. And you know what was so funny is my parents would always, I still remember this, them laughing. Oh, yeah, I remember that one time I damn near slapped her face clean off. Like it was some kind of badge of honor that they got to crack me like that. And I look back on that and like, you're gloating that you abused your child because you lacked self-control. It disgusts me when I think about those things.
And in my home, my dad sucker punched my brother in his eyeball to where it instantly imploded out. You know, it came outside and it fractured his thing. Do
Yeah.
you know what the first statement was to my brother when he got up off the ground? I bet you won't disrespect your mom next time. And then the second thing they did was go to the church house and to the pastor before going to the hospital because they had to make sure the story was right.
Wow, that's so messed up.
That's the home
So
we lived in.
this is the reality is so many of these pastors have these churches. My dad had unchecked authority. He had unchecked authority. He had no accountability. Pastor Steven Anderson, same situation, zero accountability. And when you add self-righteousness to it, when you add that idea that the man is the head of the household, and that's what Steven Anderson believes, his wife, she has to have sex with him whenever he wants it. She's not allowed to tell him no. His wife only gets to spend the money that she's allowing him, he allows her to spend. Like it's that type of control that he has. So it's so abusive. But the reality is that people in the church don't really see all the stuff that goes on behind closed doors. But at the same time, with how abusive his sermons are, I don't know how you could not see how abusive he is in other areas of life, you
For
know?
some reason, when somebody adds man of God behind a name,
Yeah.
everybody feels like they need to stop. And don't touch the prophets and don't do the preachers no harm. That verse, and I think it's Jeremiah, right? And they were like, oh, hands off, let God deal with him.
Yes.
No, motherfucker, more women like us need to start pushing and chopping off the foot that lays on our neck of patriarchy. Patriarchy
Absolutely.
is a boot on our neck, and that needs to be cut off because we can't seem to remove it.
No, we can't. And it's a curse. That is a curse
God
upon
forbid
this
it's two
nation.
women talking about patriarchal men and the
Yeah.
harm that ministers do, and those women sitting on the pews and those little girls and those little boys are being indoctrinated for a lifetime
Yep.
of issues, of thoughts. If they walk away, there are going to be moments that they find instant rage
Yes.
and don't know what to do with it.
Yeah. And
It's
that's
disgusting. Heather, I can't tell you that, just it is so disturbing
And
because the
these young
women of
and
the
the
church hold the containers
Yes. And the
for
reality
that
is,
man.
and young men that are raised in these environments, it's like you said, they lack self-control. They are taught that they don't have to have it. They are literally taught to anticipate the devil to tempt them to do terrible things. And even in some faiths, they teach you that if you've thought about doing it, it's like you've already done it. And that's the way it is in the Duggar's faith. So when Josh kept harming all those kids and looking at all that stuff, in his mind, if he'd thought about it, he'd already done it. So doing it wasn't any different than thinking about it. And that's the dangerous with this type of mindset, this type of indoctrination. And also, I want to point out the fact that when people get really mad about something, like if they're really homophobic, you know, that's because they're dealing with something inside of themselves. And every time they see a gay person, it reminds them of what they're fighting in themselves. And we got a good story about that too, don't we? There was a
Oh,
pastor.
yes. And
I
let me
want you to
just
tell
say to
it.
Heather, let me just say to Heather, preach it, girl, preach it.
Now you tell this story, T. You tell it.
Now, I'm going to just say real quick from what Heather said, if you think that it's not happening in our families and we're just talking about current events, I have a brother that told me last August when I revisited my cult and my upbringing. When I asked him why not one childhood friend, not one female came up and shook my hand just to say hi, I didn't come to the church drunk. on abuse, on alcohol, drugs. I came in very cordial, very toned down, very much the most Pentecostal I could possibly be outside a Pentecostal church, right? So when I asked my brother, when I was sitting at lunch, I only talked to him one time. He looked at me and said, "We are alpha males. The men in this church are alpha males. Our women listen to us."
That's so messed up. So they did not have a voice. None of
They
those
weren't even
women.
allowed to shake a hand or say hello. The only people who were allowed to come up to me was the men in the church. Every like seven or eight men. Hi, Tamara. It's good to see you. We're so glad you're here. How have you been doing?" And my response was, "Where's your wife?" And the next man would come up and I would be like, "I'm fine. Where's your wife?" And every man would tell me, "Oh, she's in the congregation somewhere." "No, dude, you had told her she's not allowed to speak to me. That is why you, as the man of the house, were the ones who did the talking, because you're afraid that I would
And we
influence
know it's
her."
still happening. Like the SBC just had that vote where they said women can't be part of their organization. And all the churches that have a woman pastor either have to fire the woman pastor or just leave the organization. That's the only choice. So, women are still not seen as fully autonomous, equal human beings within these patriarchal spaces. And I hate that.
And never
So,
will in the Apostolic Pentecostal faith. Let's just say
yes,
that.
no.
So
And
we
they
can go
won't.
to our story.
But yes, I want you to talk about this news story that I was just talking about
Okay.
with the pastor.
The one from Louisiana, right?
Yeah, the one that went across the
Yes.
street, mollywhopped somebody.
So you guys, in Apostolic Pentecostal faith, you don't hear many of these churches hitting the news because they want to make sure nobody starts looking at them. So at the beginning of July, I believe it was, I'm not sure exactly what date, but there is a neighbor across the street from the church, the Baton Rouge Church in Louisiana, where Anthony Spell is the pastor. Timothy Spell, B.A. Spell, Anthony Spell, you name it, the Spells are a big name in our faith, in our sect of cults. And there's been this neighbor that has been quote unquote harassing them, making threats. And I'll get to what those threats and harassments are in a minute. And finally, one day he was standing there. He's a young guy in his 20s, and he was flipping him off.
Yeah,
From
just flipping the
his
pastor off.
yard, flipping him off. I don't know, Heather, does this harm you? Doesn't harm you? Doesn't harm me at all. I mean, when people like, doesn't affect me at all.
You see my
And
burn? I
I
burned my
even think
fingers.
the words, "fuck you." And even thinking those words doesn't affect me at all, right? So I was raised going to this minister's church, going to their conferences, going every year to what they offered as a conference from their church. Their church came to our service pretty much every year, and we had a convention that was called the Year of Jubilee, and it was during the weeks of Christmas and New Year's. And the reason why is because we were not allowed to celebrate Christmas, and we were not allowed to celebrate the festivities of Christmas. So instead, and this was said from our pulpit, our pastor was going to replace the heathen holiday with a beautiful church conference every year. So I wouldn't say I know them personally, but they know my family personally because my brother is married into Roger Evans's family, and my brother married his daughter Rachel. So I'm just making sure, without anybody knowing, that I can talk about my family. My brother Tobias is married to Rachel. Now let me get to the story. Anthony Spell ran across the street
After he was flipped off by the gay
after
man.
he was flipped off, And I didn't know at the time if the man belonged to the LGBTQIA, but I had told someone, we're going to find out that that young man across the street is
Is
more feminine
LGBT. Yep.
and is from the LGBTQIA community.
Which we love. We love
We
effeminate
love.
men around here. So no
Doesn't
hating.
bother me at
We
all.
love you.
Metrosexual, feminine, it doesn't
Femboys,
matter
like,
to me. But I know that that's what triggered that pastor. So
Yeah.
on
He got turned on. That's what happened. I bet he bet. It made him mad. Uh-oh, Pastor.
have to tell you this.
Telling on yourself. Telling on yourself.
Pastor Spell, you need some makeup. Would you like some glitter? I can
Yeah.
help you become a unicorn. So he went across the street, grabbed this young boy who was 20, and beat the shit out of him.
That's crazy. And he's a pastor, y'all. He's a
All on
pastor.
video.
And it is on video. It is. And if you guys want to look it up, you can see it. It's all over the internet. But tell what happened
Go to my
next, T.
page.
What did he preach
So
afterwards, after all the backlash? And he got arrested, y'all. He got arrested for assaulting this young man.
yep, second degree battery, I believe it was. So after it happened, Pastor Anthony went out at 2 or 3 in the morning, like the next couple of days, and him and the men of the church decided to start mowing their grass. The neighbor across the street called the police, the father of the young boy who was beat up. And he told the police officer that this man is doing it on purpose. The pastor of the church is mowing his grass at 2:30 in the morning. Come on, you guys. You know he was
Yes.
doing it to
Yes.
antagonize. These
Yep.
two families have been going at it for years, and that is
Yeah.
documented. So the police officer walked over to Anthony Spell and asked him what his name was. He goes, "What? You don't know my name? Everybody knows my name."
Oh, Lord.
Please.
Self-righteous much?
Please. So he said, oh, he goes, that man's just upset because I beat his butt, his son's butt. And you see the police officer going, I'm not quite sure what's going on, and then goes into about the codes and the laws or whatever. But then on Tuesday of that week, he was arrested,
Yeah.
booked and put in jail.
Yeah.
Now, when he comes out of the booking, you see his darling, beautiful, humble wife walk over to him and kiss him and
He's
hug him. And he's like, oh, my husband's being so persecuted.
a martyr.
A martyr for Jesus. I need a stronger drink.
The enemy's coming
The devil and all
for him.
his
Yes, it's a
stuff is
demonic attack.
after my husband. Oh. And they started praying. So the news reporters asked him, by the way, I don't know if that's what she said. That's my interpretation because I was apostolic Pentecostal. I know what the women say. Devil,
Yes, we do.
keep your hands off my man. So the reporter asked the minister, do you have anything to say to the press? And he responded to the press, I am on my way to the sanctuary right now, and I will talk to my congregation when I get there. Do you know, Heather, what his sermon was for that night?
It's about laying hands on people. What?
He said that he did God's work. I'm paraphrasing.
He
That the
did God's
Bible
work.
says
No, beating somebody's ass is
that.
not doing God's work.
Oh,
What the hell?
wait a minute. You're jumping ahead. He used scripture. And because he used scripture, that means it's true. He used the scripture. When you lay laying on of hands to heal the sick, and he got up behind. You guys, he used the scripture, laying on hands, and you will heal the sick.
And he wasn't laying on hands in a holy way, honey. You don't hold lay hands on people by beating the hell out of them.
But that is
Oh my
how they
Lord.
justified and weaponized.
That
And
is
not
so messed
only
up.
is that disturbing, listen to the video, you guys. with an open mind. How many amen, Pastor,
And
bless
I know
your
we
heart,
are, you
preacher,
know,
from the
yeah.
women?
And
You
we're
hear this
laughing
high pitch.
and we're cutting jokes because we have religious trauma. We enjoy dark humor. But in all seriousness, this is really sick and twisted that he's using the Bible in that way to justify beating down another human being. Like, God, like he's using the name of God to justify. That's so messed up, man. I just, yeah.
Not only is it messed up, it is continuously, that is their rhetoric. So
Yes.
imagine the pastor beat the shit out of a young 20-year-old that belongs to the LGBTQIA. And
Yeah.
I'm not sure positively from his side, but the pastor called him an F with two
Yes,
letters after
that is
it.
so
And then
disgusting.
he looked at the police officer and said,
Good people don't use the slurs, y'all.
and then he made the comments to everybody in his congregation. We are tired of the harassment from the neighbor across the street. We are tired of the slurs. We are tired of him flipping us off. Now his wife filed a report a year ago that she was flipped off by the neighbor across the street.
How petty,
She took
like,
the freaking time to file
wow,
a report of getting this. Of
that's
getting this
ridiculous. That is so dumb. That is
and
so
cuss
dumb.
words, and that
Yeah.
he and Anthony Spells
People are
basically
dying,
said
honey. That's
he
more
was gonna,
important than a cuss word. Like,
and he said that he was not going to allow the innocence of his of the children and the women of his congregation to continue to be faced with what was happening across the street. He has totally justified his behaviors. He has
wow.
never apologized for his behaviors.
Yep.
And he used the
Because
scripture,
these
and the
men, yep.
sermon was lay hands
Yes.
on the sick
These
and they'll be
men will
healed.
never take accountability for the evil crap that they have done. They just do not, especially when they are in one of these super patriarchal churches, because they're treated like a god and they feel like they can do and say whatever they want to say.
And if you don't
So,
think that's narcissism at its finest,
yes,
that
that's
is
why narcissists
disgusting.
thrive in religious spaces. They really do, because it feeds on them. Like, it's just crazy.
And then in another clip, it shows him at the altar praying for whatever. I'm
Oh,
sure it
Lord.
wasn't forgiveness. I'm sure it was to give him strength to get through this awful trial and everything that's going to come out. Dude, if anybody wants to know what's going on inside those apostolic
Yeah.
Pentecostal churches of Timothy Spell, of
It's
Roger Evans,
abuse,
here I
abuse, and
am.
abuse.
Come
Yep.
ask me. And
Yep.
I think it's absolutely amazing that the crack
Yeah.
has now started in the wall,
Yes.
and their
Yes.
foundation with women like me and other people who have left the apostolic Pentecostal faith
They can't
will
hide
be
it.
able to have a voice because they're not going to be
Yeah.
able to deny what happened. They're not going to be able to deny that they move pastors from state to state that
Yes.
have sexually abused their daughters their whole life. They're
Yep.
not going to be able to remove the fact that the men in the apostolic Pentecostal churches that do DV, that do SA, that do CSA are still sitting on their pews.
Yes.
Because when I questioned the cult a year ago, I was told by my brother that God has that my father has asked the church and the men of that church and his family for forgiveness, and that the forgiveness now remains in God's hands, and it is up to God on whether he makes it to heaven. Motherfucker,
So
that God
we are
hasn't done a
going back
goddamn
to the
thing for
statement
me.
I said earlier. People who don't know true justice do not understand what accountability actually looks like.
No, they
So,
think the accountability needs to be in Jesus. So go check him out, go follow
yes.
him, and go make sure that you follow the awakening because you guys,
Yes.
I'm not done with this story yet. Go
We're
ahead.
not even close to being done.
Any
And
close?
you know what? We want to hear from you guys. We want to hear what kind of stories that you guys want us to cover when we do these update shows like this and current events. What do you want us to cover? But we also want to hear from those of you that might not feel comfortable coming onto our show and sharing your story. We wanted to open it up more to people that might not be in a position where they're safe enough to tell their story yet. Or maybe it would be too harmful for the people that are in your family to hear your story yet. I know that I couldn't even come out publicly until, a member of my family passed away because I didn't want to harm them with retelling my story. So if you're ever a person who wanted to share your story completely anonymously, send us your story to our email. It's theawakeningpod@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Send us your viral clips that you find that you'd like us to talk about. We want to hear feedback from you guys. And if you know of any stories that you'd just like us to talk about, we would love to do that for you guys. But we are so grateful that you have sat down and listened to us ramble on about what's going on, talk about craziness, and read poetry to you.
And
And
this
we
is the
are
other
so
thing.
excited about Jesse's poem, right? Like, yay, that's so incredible.
It was so amazing when I was asked because I put a lot of time into my poems, and actually I spent over 8.5 hours on this poem because I had the rough draft, but then I needed to make sure that it was more real. I needed to bring it to life and breathe breath into it. But thank you guys so much for listening. And I just want to say also, because I was raised in the Apostolic Pentecostal faith, and I realized that there is more than w more women out there, more men out there that are were Pentecostal like myself, that have stories to tell. And if you just need a safe place to tell it, but you can't come on the air, make sure you understand that Heather and I is a community. Heather and I are building a community for individuals that would
And you
like to
can
make
find
sure
us on
they.
Discord too. Like, we have a
Yeah, we have
Discord,
Discord.
we have a Facebook page, we're on YouTube.
YouTube.
So find us wherever you want to. And if you ever have questions, we'll be there. Like, we'll answer you in real time. Like, we're real people, but we will respond to you. And if you need help with stuff or need resources, we can point you in the direction to things like that too, because we love helping you guys heal. Because again, every single week we say it, but we are healing loudly together, one story and one episode at a time. So thank you guys again so much for being here with us this week, and we can't wait to catch you back here again next week.
Yes, and I just want to say when Heather says we're healing out loud, we mean it. We've
Yes.
walked the steps, we talk the talk, we understand the trauma that religious bases hold and what
Yeah.
they do to us. And the difficulty 25 years later for me, Heather, 10 years later for you,
Yeah.
and we are still healing.
Yep,
But
definitely.
her
Good
and I have
Lord. I'm
decided to
still
do
learning
it
stuff
out
about
loud.
myself every day, and we ain't gonna talk about all of it, but I love y'all. Have a good day.
We love you guys. Bye.
Religion has many victims, and these are the stories of how they survived.
The preceding podcast is solely owned by the host or hosts and is distributed by Big Media LLC. Copyright 2026.